For those who don't know the meaning of rapture, this is the meaning of rapture. Rapture is Jesus Christ going to come, take his born-again Christian people, the body of Jesus Christ, without a warning, one day or one evening, one night, overnight, I don't know when. But someday he's going to come, and he's going to take it, the born-again Christian. Just because you've been coming to the church, that doesn't mean you are Christian. Let's make that thing very clear from the beginning. Unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not born again. If the rapture happens, you will be left behind. That's not something I'm making up. That's something what the Bible says. And I'm going to prove that why the rapture is a biblical thing, and we have to study and we have to know about it. And he's going to leave the earth with the people, born again Christian, and we're going to all go to heaven. And what about those people who are left behind on earth? And he's going to pour out the judgment, what we know as tribulation, for 7 years. If you think that living on earth is hell, you haven't seen hell yet. There will be little living hell. For 7 years, that he will pour out his wrath to the unbelieving, sinful people. And that's what we call tribulation. And we are going to start the tribulation from chapter 6 more than a couple of weeks. The way it's going, it's going to be more than a couple of weeks. There are many pastors who chose not to, listen carefully, there's many pastors chose not to acknowledge the rapture. They say there's no rapture mentioned in the Bible. The word rapture is not mentioned. That is correct. However, same time, the word Bible is not mentioned in the Bible either. So should we ignore the Bible? No. Word rapture is coming from the raptures in Latin word, Latin Vulgate. If you have that Bible, that kind of Latin Bible, you will find word raptures. It means cut up. So when you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you will find the word caught up. That means rapture, raptures, and that's where we get the word rapture. They chose not to acknowledge the rapture itself, and not only that, they're not sure whether it's going to be precede the tribulation or in the middle of a tribulation or after, or somewhere in between. This is one of the doctrine Calvary Chapel very stand firm on. We are not wishy-washy about this doctrine. We believe the rapture will happen right before the tribulation. That is the initial point to start the tribulation. Why do we believe that way? Because we can prove from the Word of God. And if you don't believe the rapture is not going to happen before the tribulation. As I said many times before, your eschatology, end-time prophecy will affect a great deal, and the way you live will affect a great deal. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your anointing upon the word and anointing on those one who speak, and please forgive the one who speak because his sins are many. We are asking you to open our heart to receive your word as you intend, that we may not have any confusion, because you are not the God of confusion, but God of order. And give us a sound mind and love. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture clearly tells us no one can know the date or the time of the rapture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. We are going to go through the many different verses, so please be aware. And if you can put some sort of bookmark in chapter 24 of Matthew, that will be great, because we're going to refer that place often. Matthew 24, verse 36 through 39. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. But of that day and the hour, underline, no one knows. Not even the angels of the heaven, but my father only. But as the day of the Noah word, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So for as in the day before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day of Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus told us the word of God is a final and cannot be reversed. However, even though the Bible clearly, You didn't want to know that information, did you? The Bible tells us no one knows the day of the and the time. However, somebody always come up with this fancy formula to know why they know that the rapture date and the time. Or something might say, well, I have a personal revelation from the Jesus Christ who told me when. Whenever they come up with that kind of idea, remind this verse. That means no one knows. It doesn't matter how they think that they know, but I don't know which part of no one knows. They don't understand. This is something they cannot come up with. Only Father knows, and He will let us know when the time is up. The reason for the controversy is four different kinds of theory. One is pre-trib or pre-tribulation. That means the rapture will happen before the tribulation. Second one is mid-trib. They say the rapture will happen in the middle of the tribulation, preferably right in the smack dab in the middle of the 7 years, so 3.5 years, and then 3.5 years. The junction is that they say that when the abomination of desolation happened, when the Antichrist bring himself, the image of himself into the holy temple and declaring that he is God and make the people to worship, that's the abomination of desolation, that's the time when it will happen. Some people believe that. Or some people say it will happen somewhere in the middle of the tribulation. Or those who are believing that the rapture will happen right after the tribulation, we call post-trib or post-tribulation. And there's the last group of people says, well, it will happen somehow. It will pan out and it will, we don't know exactly, but it will happen. That we call them pan-tribulation or pan-trib. The last group does not have, they cannot really show where the biblical reference of their idea is. The most of the time, if you have that kind of concept, because you don't know the Word of God, I have no apology to make. If you don't know the Word of God, if you seek the Word of God, most likely you will find the answer. There's a true reason why the people have this kind of controversy. Number one is elect. The elect. Number two is a trumpet. And there is people that are confused about this. Who are these elect? And what's this trumpet? Who is blowing the trumpet? Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Verse 21 of Matthew 24. For then shall be the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, and those there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's, underline elect's, please, sake, that those days shall be shortened. And some people say, aha, see that this elect, they are going through the tribulation. So they are convinced that the mid-tribulation is the correct theory. However, there is a three group of elect. When you read the Word of God correctly, number one group is the body of Jesus Christ, like us. Gentile, Jewish people, it doesn't matter. They are the body of Jesus Christ who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They are the first group. Second group would be the Israel in general, Israeli people in general. Third group will be those who got saved during the tribulation time. You can find those people, Israeli people in general, from Isaiah 45:4, and Christian will, those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you can find them in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. So how do we know this is not the church body of Jesus Christ? To understand that, we have to go one more verse. Chapter 24, verse 20. It says, "But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the what? Sabbath." That means Jesus speaking to who? Jewish people. Even now, during the Sabbath time in Israel, the transportation, public transportation, literally come to halt. There is no public transportation. And if you're Orthodox Jew, you don't even drive a car. You don't travel more than half miles because that's against the Jewish law. So this application, this verse 21 to 22, the elect are not the body of Jesus Christ, the Christian people, but they are for Israeli people. I have occasion to talk to somebody who is a staunch believer in mid-trib. He said chapter 24 in Matthew is draws a parallel line with chapter 6 of Revelation. And he made a good argument. He almost convinced me because if I didn't think anything else. But he was not counting us. He was not thinking, who is this people going to go through? They're going through the tribulation. He didn't look for who they are. By looking at the verse 20 in context, you can tell this is Israeli people, not general born-again Christian people. You don't find anywhere between the chapter 6 of Revelation to the chapter 19, that's the description of the tribulation time, you don't find anywhere talking about body of Jesus Christ, the church. And what about, you might say, what about those people who are saved? And they are not the first group of church. Yes, they are church, body of Jesus Christ, but they are not the one who get raptured up. And they will have a different treatment from God. And you may say, well, that's not nice. Well, I don't make a rule. God makes the rule. So I'm not going to argue with him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians is located right after Romans. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, verse 52. It reads, "In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." See, and this is another argument to say that, see, the trumpet, the last trumpet. And when you look at chapter 11 of Revelation, there's a seventh trumpet, the last trumpet will be blown. That's right smack dab in the middle of the tribulation. See, this is the last trumpet, same kind of trumpet. However, who is the one blowing the seventh trumpet? Who is the one blowing the trumpet in the book of Revelation? It's not God. It's angels. Each trumpet, seven trumpets are blown by the angels, not God. What kind of trumpet is blown for the rapture? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's another place you need to keep your finger in. So you're going to need all 10 fingers to study this today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel style, we go through a lot of verses. We don't just talk and let the pastor jibber-jabber. Because we believe that unless God put the word in his mouth, it's not worth hearing. So stay with me, please. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 16. It reads, "For the Lord himself descend from," the Lord himself is Jesus Christ, "will descend from the heaven with the shout, and with the voice of an archangel," and with, underline next word, please, "the trumpet of" what? What? God. Wow, it's not an angel. So it's not the same trumpet, is it? So what we find in seven trumpets that we find in the book of Revelation from chapter 8 to 3:11 is trumpet blown by angels. However, this one is blown by God himself. Okay, there's 12 reasons for the pre-rapture, pre-tribulation rapture theory. We'll start with the first one. Rapture doctrine is a comforting one. Do we have slides coming up, Willie? Going once, going twice? There. Give him a hand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Let's go back there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, therefore, comfort one another with this word. What word? About the rapture word. Comfort each other. Rapture should be comforting one another. If we go through the tribulation according to mid-trib or post-trib people, folks, that's not a comforting. In case you don't know what the tribulation is like, one occasion, one-third of people will be dead, and one-third of the mountain will be crushed to the ground, and one-third of a sea creature will be floating on the top of the water. They're all dead. I don't call that thing fun fish and chip. That's something I wouldn't eat. See, and that's not the only thing. The hailstorm will fall down. Some of you guys have seen this golf ball-sized hailstorm, right? It makes a nice dent on your car, don't you think? How about this? 75-pound size of hailstone coming down from the heaven. Where are you going to dodge? If you go into the roof, go inside the building, do you think this can hold a 75-pound hailstone coming down? Not just one, all over. That will be the situation. People will die left and right. I don't think that's comforting. However, the Word of God says it will comfort us. So pre-tribulation theory proved that it is comforting. Second reason for it, tribulation is outpouring of the wrath of God. Tribulation is outpouring of the wrath of the Lamb. 1 Thessalonians, again, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Don't say, honey, you turn. No, you turn too, please. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain a salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God did not appoint us to wrath. That means he's not holding his wrath on us. Who took our wrath? Jesus Christ on the cross. He already took our wrath. He absorbed our wrath. Third reason for the pre-tribulation theory is pre-tribulation rapture is illustrated in Genesis 19, where we see the angels deliver Lot and his family before the destruction of Sodom. There is a lot of people say, those who are for the gay marriage or gay get-together or whatever they call it, they say the reason why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed is because they didn't take care of their poor people. That's the part of truth. However, the main reason is because they are utterly wicked people. And that's one of the main reason is because they are homosexual people and God pour out his wrath on them. How do I know that this is the verse that God is talking about pre-tribulation theory? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 2. 7 through 9. Are you there yet? No? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. And deliver the righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul and from the day to day by seeing the hearing their lawless did. Verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptation and to reserve the unjust under the punishment for the day of the judgment. Does it make sense to you? God will preserve his godly people from the punishment. Fourth reason for the pre-tribulation theory is when great tribulation occurred on earth, I expect to be in heaven, standing before the Son of Man, singing of the worthiness of the Lamb. I find it in chapter 5 of verse Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9 of Revelation. Some of you are asking, aren't you done yet? No, I have 7 more to go, 8 more to go. Chapter 5, verse 9 of Revelation. And they sang a new song, saying that you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal. Underline next phrase, please. For you were slain and have redeemed who? Us. To God by your blood. And out of every tribe and tongue and the people of the nation, and have made us kings and priests of our God. Underline, have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. There's no other group who can sing this song of redemption other than Church of Jesus Christ. Because we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we are qualified to sing this song of redemption. And we will be the kings and priests of Jesus Christ. So by the time this thing, when they start to sing, we will be there. So there's no other way around. All right, let's think one more thing here. Chapter 3 ends 7 letters to the churches. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 is all of a sudden Jesus Christ taking us to the heaven so that we can see what's going on in heaven. From chapter 6, that's the description of tribulation. So chapter 3 and chapter 6, that's when the rapture is happening. And I will prove the rest of the reason. Fifth reason is it simply isn't consistent with the nature of God to judge righteous with the wicked. It's not consistent with the nature of God to judge the righteous with the wicked. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Are you with me so far? Yes? No? Okay. Stay up with me, please. If you're sleeping, please don't snore too loud. You might wake up other people. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of the man, and who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. Remember the second reason for the pre-tribulation is, I read it from the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he is not appointed us to wrath. This is another backup verse that we can find. Sixth reason why the pre-tribulation is a correct theory is, Jesus told us to pray that we may be raptured before the tribulation. He told us to pray. I find it from the book of Luke chapter 21, 36. Luke 21, 36. Right on, Millie. Good job. 21, 36 says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy, what? To escape all these things that come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. All these things, when you read in context, is the disaster tribulation. So you are, if you are counted worthy enough, then you will be standing in the, you will escape these things, tribulation. How can you be worthy to escape that? By good look? By good doing good things? Only one way. Relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else. All right. Let's go to the seventh reason. Pre-tribulation rapture makes sense historically, scripturally. Pre-tribulation rapture makes sense historically and scripturally. I'll go to the John chapter 14. John is right behind the book of Luke. John chapter 14, verse 2. John chapter 14, verse 2. Some of you guys know this by heart. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Listen carefully, please. According to Jewish custom, let's say there's a guy, Charlie. Since we pick on Charlie, or anybody Charlie? Name Charlie? Okay, good. So we'll pick on Charlie. Let's say there's a guy named Charlie. He's a Jewish guy, and he's the age of marrying. and he found this beautiful young lady and he wanted to get married, first thing he would do is once the engagement is done, he go home, start to prepare the place. He had a room in his father's house. He started to do that, and when his room addition is done, we don't know how long it's going to take. Once that's done, and with the father's permission, somebody blow the trumpet. Most case, the father blow the trumpet. And that's the time, that's the signal for the bridegroom to go to the bride to bring her home. So he go to the bride's home and say, okay, say bye to your mom and dad. And he take her to the father's home, and they have a gigantic wedding ceremony, sometimes for 7 days. Meanwhile, they stay in that bridal suite for 7 days. For 7 days, they don't talk to anyone else except just them. After the 7 days, they come out and introduce his brand new wife to everyone. Let's put that in our tribulation. When the father says, Father God says, okay, son, Jesus Christ, you go get your people. That's us, body of Jesus Christ, known as bride of Jesus Christ. He blow the trumpet, and he comes down, get us. We go up to the heaven. That's where we will have a wedding ceremony. And we'll stay there for 7 years. After that, he comes down with his bride, which is known as the second coming of Jesus Christ, and let the entire world know that they are together. And that's the end of the tribulation. So do you think that kind of, they together jive together? You can mark on that thing. See, God doesn't put this kind of thing just for fun of it. Every word in the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Eighth reason tribulation rapture follows is the outline of Book of Revelation. It follows the outline of Book of Revelation. If you don't embrace pre-tribulation theory, this is what will happen. If you embracing the mid-tribulation, you have to put the chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Book of Revelation right behind chapter 11. There's no other way around. If you believe the post-tribulation theory, you have to put the chapter 4, chapter 5 of Book of Revelation behind chapter 9 of the Book of Revelation. It doesn't flow. So if you're following the Word of God closely in context, you have to stay in the pre-tribulation theory. Ninth reason pre-tribulation follows a conditional aspect of tribulation. Let's go to chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 22. It follows conditional aspect of a tribulation. Verse 22, in Jesus speaking to the church of Thyatira, we studied this portion. Indeed, I will cast her into the sick bed, those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless that they repent of their deeds. When you look at the great tribulation in Greek word, it's this is one of those Greek words, I just have to pronounce it. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S, Thilips. What does it mean? It's a great tribulation and or trials. This is the same word that we find from the chapter 6, through this chapter 19 of the Book of Revelation. This is the place where if these people don't repent, they will go through. You may say that didn't Jesus say that we will go through tribulation while we are alive? Yes. However, that's not the same word tribulation. Actually, that should be translated as a trials and test. See, when you look at the tribulation and the test or trials, while we're living on this earth, we claim the name of Jesus Christ in our lives, that tribulation and the test does not come from Jesus Christ. Guess who is the one who is dishing out? Satan. Guess who is dishing out the great tribulation? God. God will now allow us to take it from the both sides. Remember back to what we just heard? He will not appoint us into wrath. Let's go on to the chapter, the 10th reason for the pre-tribulation. It squares with the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Stay with me. In Daniel chapter 9, you find half biblical years and 3.5 biblical years from the middle of the tribulation, which is known as abomination of desolation. You can count 3.5 years. Biblical years, that means 360 years. By end of the tribulation, the second half of the tribulation, that's the time when the Jesus Christ comes down as the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you believe post-trib, post-tribulation, listen carefully, please. What's the reason for Jesus Christ to take us out of this world when he's coming back? Does it make sense to you? Second coming of Jesus Christ is happening right after the end of tribulation. What's the reason for him to take us up to heaven? Or some people believe that will happen right after the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're already down here. Do we go back there? No, that's not how it jives. If you follow the Revelation according to what it says, post-tribulation does not make sense at all. If there's any other theory other than pre-trib makes sense, would it be mid-trib? However, when you look at it in the elect, who are the elect, you cannot stay in the mid-trib either. Are you guys with me, or are you guys lost so far? Yes? No? Okay. In 11th reason, tribulation theories, pre-trib is, tribulation is unnecessary for the church. Let's go back to Romans chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. Romans 11. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. In Greek word is mysterion. It actually, this is correct translation, should be secret. Secret, a difference between mystery and the secret, that some of you guys know. Mystery is kind of, nobody knows. It's in la-la land. However, secret, if you have a clearance for that secret, you know the secret. It will be revealed to you. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentile has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverers will come out of the Zion. Who is the deliverer? That's Jesus Christ. Will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Who is the Jacob? Israel people. This tribulation is known as Jacob's trouble. Tribulation is mostly targeted for the Israel people, and one day she will be awakened. Where do we find? Promise has been made to Abraham, and we find that portion in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy is the fifth book from the start of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 4, please. I'm about done. So stay with me, please. Chapter 4 of verse 29. This is something that God is speaking to the Israeli people, that he will make himself known. Verse 29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God," and "you" means Israeli people. "You will find him if you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul. But when you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice." That's the promise that God given to the Abraham. Last reason, pre-tribulation rapture, illustrate Enoch who was taken into heaven prior to the flood. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Chapter 5, verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Some of you say, if you believe in missed trip, you say, wrong theology, wrong analogy. See, it's not the, Enoch is not the church. Noah is the church. All right? If you think that, well, listen carefully, please. What happened to Noah? He went into the ark right before the flood. Who sealed the door? Noah sealed the door? God. God closed the door and sealed it. And he kept them alive during the great flood. Think with me. If that's a church, how can it be sealed? We are already sealed with the Holy Spirit. How can we be resealed? We cannot be resealed. This is the Israeli people. Remember 144,000 from 12,000 people from each tribe, 12 tribes. Remember that? In the book of Revelation, if you remember that, then 144,000 Israeli people, they will receive the seal of the Holy Spirit on their forehead and they will be protected. This is the Israeli people, not Church of Jesus Christ. What happened to Church of Jesus Christ? Prior to the Noah's flood, there is a guy named Enoch. He walked with God, and God took him. That's the illustration of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's born-again Christian, us. All right. So what do I do? What should we do with all this theology? I hope this explained why we believe the pre-tribulation is correct theology for the rapture time. If you don't believe the way I do, listen carefully. Your destination, eternal destination, will not be changed. When we get to heaven, I'll look at you and you're going to say, I know, you told me so. But it's okay. You'll come around. So, as I said, that doesn't mean any less Christian than you are. And that doesn't change your eternal salvation. However, it will make a difference in your the way you live. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ will not come until Antichrist shows up first, listen carefully, please. Then you're going to start to look for that Antichrist instead of looking for Jesus Christ. Then you're going to start to scan the newspaper and what's the current event. Who is this Antichrist? Would that be Junho Kim? Would that be somebody from Spain or somebody from Israel? You're wondering. Spending the energy, your effort for the wrong place. Seek the Jesus Christ, not Antichrist. And also it brings you to the, instead of seeking Jesus Christ, watch him pray, you will end up looking for the place to survive. You end up becoming survivalist. Do you know who does that kind of thing? Mormons. They store the food, they store the electricity generator, and they store the guns and ammo. Because they're thinking that they're going to go through tribulation. We don't. We'll be raptured. Now, what about those who don't believe Jesus Christ at all? If the rapture happened right now, ladies and gentlemen, you will be left behind. If you don't have a Jesus Christ in your heart as a Savior and Lord, I'm not going to make this any soft, or I'm not going to beat around the bush. You will be left behind. And from this moment, you will go through 7 years of tribulation. You may say, I don't believe you. It might be too late. The only way you can go to heaven during the tribulation time will be almost like a beheaded. You claim the name of Jesus Christ, then you go to heaven. Otherwise, you will receive mark of beast. That's not pretty sight. This is a sober moment. If you don't know Him, and you don't have personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be left behind. Let's stand up and pray. I like all the heads bowed, eyes closed. Please don't move around. This is a very important time. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as I said, you will be left behind if the rapture happens now. God doesn't want you to happen that way. None of us want you to happen that way. It is God's desire for you to come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and have a peace in His heart, in your heart, and know that you will be in heaven with Christ for eternal life. You cannot go to heaven by doing good things or your good look. Maybe you think you can because you're better looking than I am. But that's not going to cut it. There's only one way, receiving Jesus Christ into your heart. Don't look around, please. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, today is the day. Now is the time to receive Him into your heart. Raise your hand. Anyone? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. I hope and pray that this word You spoke to our heart, to remain our heart, to be diligent in Your work, and watch and pray for the day of rapture. If we get to have the privilege of rapture soon. And let us go out and spread the good news to the other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.